Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the poetry department here at Car Talk Plaza. Evidently,
it seems
one of our recent puzzlers. I told you that. I told you that puzzler was stinko from the get-go.
That was the worst.
Didn't I tell you? I warned you, and you said, use it anyway. Sure, make me look like a jerk.
No.
Go ahead, read
All
the
right.
mail. Due to time restrictions, we will be able to read a small sampling of, 400 or 500 letters.
We got more mail. This was the one in which you gave four words, month, oil, orange, and Oriole. This is the great...
Like the Baltimore...
Oriole dispute.
Yes.
And the question was, which one of these four words doesn't belong?
Right, and the answer was
one
that...
One of these things that is not like the other.
That yeah. oil didn't belong because, presumably, oil was the only word that could be rhymed with, and the others could not be rhymed with. In fact, when I first heard the puzzle, I thought I couldn't think of anything that rhymed with oil.
Well,
go ahead.
According to Nick Sobin in the Department of English at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock,
yeah.
home of our fair president, yeah. I might add.
Well, former home.
Offers the following.
Go ahead.
Even car guys non-sartorial, in Cambridge, quite arboreal, with its drive named Memorial, with ne'er a tutorial, can surely rhyme oil with something.
Wait. No. Those don't rhyme with aureole. Memorial rhyme with aureole.
All right.
Arboreal rhyme with aureole.
All right. How about this letter then? You don't like that one?
No.
Well, you really blew it this time. Which time, you're probably wondering. With that stupid puzzler about the four words
oil,
and whatever the other one was. Your answer was based on the statement that orange, Oreo, and the other word did not have any rhyming words. Wrong. Did I count those? Wrong. Yes, five wrongs. Gloriole rhymes with Oreole.
And how do you spell Gloriole?
Gloriole. And this is true. We looked up in the dictionary. It means halo.
Gloriole, huh? Well, I meant normal words.
Another poem. This is Russ Thomas from Syracuse, New York.
Would that be a word that one would use?
He's got another poem. Unless you go to Baltimore, you'll never see an Oriole. And unless you go to heaven, you'll never see a Gloriole.
Jeez. Oh. Well, I guess... Yeah, I guess I didn't know.
That takes care of that.
Well,
suffice it to say...
I will never use another crummy puzzler... Again, I promise, until later on in the show.
1-800-332-9287 is the number if you want to call us. If you don't want to call us, it's still the number. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lisa from San Diego.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
You know, for a while, maybe for about 10 years, I thought I wanted to live in San Diego. And I've never been there, so I don't know. My information was based solely, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, solely on watching Simon and Simon on television. It went off the air, and the whole dream faded.
Right. Now he wants to live in Nebraska. He's shooting for Omaha, Nebraska.
I want to live wherever Seinfeld lives.
So what's up, Lisa?
Well, I just bought a pickup truck, an 85 Chevy. I bought the truck because, with the help of my parents, I'm going to trailer a horse up to Los Angeles, and then they're going to drop me off, and I'm going to ride the horse up all the way to the Oregon border, and then they're going to pick me up, and I'm going to trailer the horse back down to San Diego.
Oh, I thought this was the unique way of getting you to run away from home or something.
Okay, get on the horse, and don't come back. There's something about the horse you rode in on.
Something like that. So what kind of a pickup is this? A full size?
It's a full size. It's a Chevy C10, V8 half ton.
How long is it going to take you to ride up to the Oregon border on a horse?
And they hope a long time.
No kidding, man. This is months.
4 months.
Are you taking the Pacific Coast Highway all the way?
No, I'm not. I'm more or less taking the De Anza Trail. I'm reenacting a trip a man took in 1911.
You know, you're going to need butt cream. You can't make this trip with a... Forget the truck.
What's the stuff that... What's his name? Sells on a rope. What do they call
it? Oh,
that?
Utter butter on a rope.
Utter butter on a rope.
But you, but
riders in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, all kidding aside, you'll go. But I'm sure that you're well versed in.
She
in
didn't call us about the horse.
Horsewomanship.
She called us about the truck.
Well, I figured in case you didn't know it, she's gonna need butt cream. I mean, it might not be obvious until you're like in the middle of nowhere.
That's
and where are you gonna get butt cream in the middle of nowhere?
Who the hell knows? The horse is gonna need butt cream. All right, so what about the truck, Lisa?
The truck was originally used in Utah, and the truck came with a high-altitude package on it.
Yeah.
Mm. And, of course, San Diego is at sea level. The truck hesitates on uphills, particularly when you're just getting going. And the man who sold it to me and the mechanic I took with me when I bought it told me that I needed fuel injectors with bigger diameter.
Mm.
I took it to a Chevy dealership, and the mechanic at the Chevy dealership said,
"No such thing.
Nonsense."
Right.
Yeah.
You sure they didn't say you need new jets for your carburetor?
Maybe it was jets.
Ah, there we go. That might be it.
Okay, yeah.
I have a suspicion that this thing is carbureted.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. No, as a matter of fact, there may not be jets available. You may have to replace the carburetor with the sea level carburetor.
Well, the mechanic friend that I took with me said that he could put in different jets with a bigger diameter. He could get into my carburetor and do this for me.
You're going to get right in there.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
You could perhaps do that.
That will do it. I mean, if he is willing to do that, that will probably do it, assuming that he knows what he's doing.
Right, and doesn't screw it up.
But it's not a terribly complex job. I mean, he could do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I screw these up all the time.
No, I'm talking about people with double-digit IQs.
Oh, well, he could probably handle it in that case.
Well, why would the dealership tell me I don't need it?
Well, I assuming it is carbureted, I can't imagine why they would tell you you don't need it, because the carburetor for sea level is jetted differently from the one at high altitude.
Okay.
So if it is carbureted, you need to have something done, and that will return the performance.
Okay.
So do it, but more importantly, make sure you bring butt cream.
Butt cream.
Have a wonderful journey, and by all means, please correspond with us during this journey. We would love to hear from you.
And if when you get back to San Diego, you find that your parents have moved and haven't left you the address, don't take it personally.
See you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good luck. You're going to need it. 1-800.
4 months on a horse.
You know, it's when you think about it.
I mean, I am thinking about it.
My butt is sore. 1-800-332-9287.
I get sore watching television.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mark from Inglewood, California.
Yes.
I've got a 1972 Mercury Marquis.
Wow.
And it's very important to me because I use it for my work. And
what do you make, horror movies? Work. Like what? You mean deliver pizza or something? You work for a Domino?
No. I use it for auto detailing here in Southern California.
Oh.
So your car looks really sharp.
Which it sure does now. I have a new paint job on it. But you know what the big problem is? It's inside where I can't do anything with it. For example, when I'm coming up to a stop sign or a stoplight.
Yeah.
Now, here in Southern California, if you want to make a left-hand turn, you really got to gun the gas in order to get out there before someone comes along and plows at you on the left-hand side.
Right, and this thing just dies on you, right?
Actually, no. The acceleration is a little problem, but the big problem is when I gun the accelerator, I hear a big clunk on the front left-hand side of the car. It almost sounds like metal against metal. And because I use it for work, I know that, well, if this is a problem, and I've had it for a while, that I have to give it some attention, or one day I'm going to be in the middle of a job and boom, something's going to break and I'll be up the creek.
Does this happen when you hear this big clunk? You're moving?
Are you making the left-hand turn?
No, this is just when I pull my foot off the brake and put my foot onto the accelerator.
So it's just as you're starting to move.
Exactly.
And boom.
And it's only at rapid accelerations.
Now, is it possible to hear this noise if you weren't moving?
No.
This is all 72.
72
did technology. Did this model have a gasoline engine?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I think it was steam. I think the early 72s had steam.
These old wood burners, I think.
Yeah.
No, I think you have a bad strut rod bushing in the front.
That was one of my possibilities.
Just because the strut rod is a rod that runs from the control arm to the frame, and its purpose is to keep the control arm from moving, and thus the tire, from moving back and forth when you accelerate or decelerate. And if the bushing is worn out, what it is a big rubber piece on either side of inside sandwich between two big washers. And if you accelerate hard, you can get this whole thing to move and get the control arm to move as a result, and you'll get a clink or a boink kind of noise.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I think it is.
Well, I think that's what it is, too. Unless when you rev it up and you're not moving, you still get the clunk, in which case I think it's a motor mount.
You can verify this. Here's what you do. Here's how you'll find out that it isn't a motor mount and that my brother's wrong.
Okay.
Put the thing in drive. Put your foot on the brake.
Yeah.
And give it some gas. Okay, with your foot planted firmly on the brake.
Got it.
And the car poised in front of a tree, so if the brake doesn't hold, you'll just go right into the tree and won't run anyone over.
Okay, I'll use my neighbors.
And see if you can get the same kind of a noise as you try to accelerate, but with your foot on the brake. And then go into reverse and try to do it, then go back to drive. If you don't get it then, but you get it when you're in motion, then it's something like a strut rod bushing.
Okay, now wait a minute. All of a sudden, you're telling me I'm not going to have to call you up next week about my brakes now, will I?
Yes, you will. Don't worry about it. We won't answer. Good luck, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Get it fixed. Get it fixed. It could be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to.
Good.
Yeah. Appreciate your help, man.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler after these messages.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection, the latest innovation from Discover? Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data, and they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/onlineprivacyprotection.
Well, has the sun gotten to your brain yet? Or do you remember last week's puzzle? The sun's been out lately.
Oh,
isn't that great?
Oh, jeez, it's great.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, last week's puzzle. Hold
I guess
it.
No, never mind. Never mind. It's too late. Puzzler. Got to you already. This is a weather-related puzzler.
I don't remember it yet.
We had some severe weather here in our fair city but a few weeks ago. Remember that?
I do.
A massive snowstorm. The mother of all blizzards.
The snowstorm of the storm of the century it was billed as.
It was. Yes.
A little hype, but...
It was. Well, it covered a large area of the country. I mean,
it did.
Any one spot. In our particular part of the country, it wasn't the snowstorm of the century by any means, but in some places it was. Nevertheless, it was snowy and windy, then it changed to sleet, then freezing rain, then back to snow. You know, your basic New England weather. I mean, it happens all the time.
All anyway, that happened in half an hour.
Yeah. Monday morning, we made it to the garage and dug ourselves out, and the phone immediately started ringing off the hook. People are calling about one particular problem.
Yeah. I'm beginning to remember this.
The same problem.
Yeah.
Something happened to their cars during the snowstorm that made many of them virtually undrivable. In fact, during the course of the morning, several of them got towed in because the owners were so terrified that they couldn't drive them. And these were cars that we had worked on the previous week, and they had assumed that we had just screwed something
I'm
up.
I'm terrified every time I get in my car. I don't go crying every day, though, do I? Do I call you up every day? Yeah, I'm terrified. I just get in there. I bite the bullet like a man. I get in there and I drive. So what if the wheels are falling off? People don't have any grit like we used to in the old days. Grit. Sand.
Are you quite finished? Anyway, the question was, what happened to these cars during the storm that made driving them so terrifying? What was it about this storm?
They turned into 63 Dodge Darts.
Well, what happened to them, and this happened to a lot of cars, I guess a lot of people figured it out on their own, is that during the storm, because it was so peculiar, it was snow and then rain and then sleet and then very cold temperatures, the accumulation of snow and ice on the wheels, okay, in fact, where it couldn't even be seen oftentimes on the backsides of the wheels, collected in the wheels unevenly, unsymmetrically, made the wheels so unbalanced that when you got the car up to, say, even 30 or 40 miles an hour, it shook so violently that you thought the wheels were going to come flying off and there had to be something terribly wrong with it, like the axles were falling off, and people didn't know.
Yeah, I do remember this puzzler now.
People didn't know, and it was quite terrifying.
Because I remember asking you, should we give them one clue, and the clue I was thinking of was that it cost nothing to fix it.
That was not the proper clue, because we charged everyone to fix this, even the people that called on the phone. Do we have a winner?
Of course we have a winner. The winner is Eric Pullman. Oh, they got trains named after him. He signs his letter, Eric Pullman, Board Graduate Student. Huh. He is a biology student at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. No kidding. And for having his answer chosen at random from among all the correct answers, we are going to send Eric either an autographed copy of our book, Car Talk, or one of our brand new purple Car Talk baseball caps.
Oh, send him one of their hats. They're ugly.
The greasy fingerprints factory installed on the ugly gray visor. Eric, you lucky guy.
Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up in the second half of today's show, so be sure that you hang around for that one, because it'll be better than the last one.
This one
was all right, wasn't it?
No, this one was all right.
Yeah.
But the prior one, the four words.
In the month, you didn't like that, huh?
Jeez, you'll
I
never.
I told you it was lousy.
You'll
anyway,
never live that down.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Peggy Wendell.
Hi, Peggy.
Stanwood, Washington.
From Stanwood?
Yeah. It's just south of the border.
What border?
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian.
I didn't think Mexico.
They might have moved it. South of the Canadian border.
Wow, it's way up there.
Uh-huh.
What is that province right above you?
It's British Columbia.
British Columbia.
That's BC, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is AD down here.
AD down here. So what's up, Peggy?
Well, I don't have a problem with my car, but I'm tired of being single, and it's really hard to meet men.
Yeah. Oh, so you want like a Dodge Dart swinger, huh?
Yeah. But I read a really great article about a woman who ran an ad for a 77 Chevy Malibu Classic, and she got tons of calls from men. She got a lot more calls from this ad than she did for her personal's ad, looking for a date.
No kidding.
And she suggests that you don't need to have a car to place an ad.
Well, you know...
Oh, so you're gonna put in a fictitious ad.
Frequently, yeah. The direct approach doesn't work. I mean, this is the way that all adult education has managed to exist, thousands of years.
That's why my brother took those three terms of working with Lexan so he could meet girls.
Of course.
And literally know that all the other people in the class were all guys that were 65 and over.
They were all looking to meet girls, too.
So here's my question.
I like your idea. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, I have a question for you.
I know the question.
What's the question?
Which car should you advertise?
That's right. I want to attract a certain kind of guy.
Exactly right. And it makes a very, very big difference. Because I don't think the 77 Malibu guys would be your kind of guy.
How do you know that?
Well, the 77 Malibu guys, let me tell you, they're going to be old. You want an old guy?
How old?
Tell us what you're looking for, Peggy, and we'll tell you the car to advertise.
There you go. That's the
way. Okay. I'm looking for a creative intellectual.
Wait a minute. Now, let me get this down. Creative... intellectual.
Are you reading right from the personal now or what?
No, creative.
This is from my short list.
This is
from my short list or my long list.
Creative,
okay.
Intellectual.
Creative, intellectual, yeah. Go ahead.
Witty and fun-loving.
Witty, yeah.
Yet responsible and likes kids.
Responsible, likes kids. I see it all coming now. What age bracket are we looking at here?
Well, I'm 38.
I thought you were.
Oh, so anything between 19 and 64 is...
See, those guys in the 77 Malibu, I think my brother's wrong. They would have been too young for you.
Uh-huh.
One
more thing. He should be outgoing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
By that mean, I mean...
Well, it's understood.
Going out to frolic with nature, you know?
Oh,
buck naked mean? You mean?
Yeah,
an outdoorsy guy.
Kayaking, skiing, hiking.
Oh, excellent.
Sort of
excellent. That's very, very good. All right.
Well, the kind of guy that you...
I've got it!
...that you want...
I have it.
...is most likely to drive something like a 63 Dart.
A 63 Dodge Dart convertible. No, you want someone who wants to buy a Land Rover. You've got to advertise a 1959... all magnesium body Land Rover.
Oh, I thought that was her, all magnesium
body. And say that you brought it with you from Kenya.
Oh, that'll get the adventurer
right?
types.
The adventurer.
The swashbucklers.
The outdoorsy type, intellectual, creative. It fits everything.
Big game hunters. You like big game hunters,
well,
Peggy?
Well, likes kids. There's a lot of goats in Kenya. And you gotta explain that you spent many years in Kenya and you brought this car back with you, and it has the Rhino package? Is that what they have on it?
Yeah.
Has complete with
skin seats.
With the Rhino package? Oh, no. You would never kill a leopard to put seats in your car. That would be terrible. Oh, no. Only the best leather.
Corinthians. You crush some Corinthians.
So that's what I would go for the Land Rover. You will get some very interesting people. I guarantee it. Especially up there where you are in British Columbia. You'll get all those Nanooks coming down. All those crazy guys. Those outdoor guys who just came in from the Iditarod.
Oh, yeah, those French Canadians, they're wild.
Yeah, that's what you want. Excellent. That's what I would do.
You really want to trick a man? I mean, this is the worst kind of duplicit double dealing. Might work, though, huh?
Well, I mean, I think it can work because when they call, you tell them to come on over. And as they get there, you tell them that the car just got sold, but you've got a chance to see them, right?
Right.
Would you like to build
I could go looking around in parking lots for that kind of car and just park next to it.
Gee, would you like to build a relationship with this kind of a falsified foundation?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's right. You have to buy the car.
Oh, it would be nice to really have one.
And that would
buy the car.
You've got to buy one. And then when you know who you're gonna get a date with? The guy from whom you buy it.
Well, that's even better. Why don't you run the ad that says, I am looking for a 1959 Land Rover.
With driver.
Must have Rhino package. Please send photo of Land Rover and yourself.
Well, Peggy, I hope we've given you some help.
Oh, you have. Solved all my problems.
Gee, I hope this works. We could start a whole new business this way.
You've certainly been a lot of fun, and you're a good sport, and I hope you find Mr. Wright.
Oh, thank you.
Whoever he may be.
At least the right car.
At least the right car. See you later.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
1-800.
It's true. You know, that's how all of the adult education courses have existed for centuries. They found ads for adult working with Lexan in King Tut's tomb. I mean, it goes back that far. It's incredible.
They did. I thought that was working with dung beetles. 1-800.
How to make picture frames out of dung beetles?
Hey, there are a lot of them. There's going to be a use for them.
Don't move, because more calls and the new puzzler are coming right up.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to try to answer your questions about cars, car repair, and temporal singularities.
Yes, listen to this. This is from Dan Scribner of Rock Hill, New York, addressed to the Department of Woe, Intrigue, and Other Strange Phenomena. Recently, I was listening to your program while driving through upstate New York. That's where my pal Princess lives. Somewhere between Binghamton and Syracuse, the car radio began picking up a second public radio station that was airing the very same program, but with a half-hour delay. Interesting.
Ooh.
For the next 10 or 15 minutes...
Must have been one heck of a reverb, huh?
Now, get this. For the next 10 or 15 minutes, the reception alternated randomly between one program segment and the other. So sometimes he was getting one station, and then a second lady was getting the other station, a half hour different part of the show.
Right. It's like a deja vu experience.
A temporal singularity,
yes.
You might say. The puzzling part was there was no discernible lack of continuity.
That's not puzzling. That's a disturbing part.
Does this mean, A, any given part of your dialogue is so profound that it can stand alone without regard to context?
No. What's the B choice?
Or two, not B.
Oh,
the first A, two.
Of course, I'm sorry. I lost my head.
Are the minds of your regular listeners, both of us, so burned out that we are no longer able to grasp two related thoughts? Yours truly, a confused listener.
Wow. Ooh. Indeed. Well, talk about related thoughts. This has nothing to do with anything related. But here it is. This week's puzzler.
Oh, please make it good. fleet.
Oh, in that case, I have to rethink. No, it won't be.
I mean, I don't think I can stand another batch of mail like we got this past week.
That was indeed humiliating.
Scathing. Humiliating.
It was.
Demeaning. Debasing. Demeaning. All of those D's.
The lovely.
Words.
DeSoto. It was all of those things.
All of those D-E words. Yeah.
Yeah. That
deplorable.
Yes.
Disgusting. All right. Go ahead.
All right. This has to do with winter again.
Winter.
A fellow goes, takes his wife shopping at the convenience store. And she says, I'll be right out, hon. I just have to run in and pick up a few things. So what does he do? As soon as she leaves, lights a cigar.
Turns on the radio.
Puts the seat in the recline
position. Tries to figure out how to get the seatbelt disconnected.
And she's in the store for some number of minutes and comes...
What do people do when they're just sitting in the car? What do you do when you're sitting in the car waiting for you? Do you clean off the dashboard?
I used to immediately go for the can of wax and all that. Now yeah. I go right for the Z's. Right. If you give me 5 minutes alone, I fall into deep sleep. Anyway, so there he is smoking his cigar in a deep sleep.
And sort of like Kramer.
Right. And his wife comes out of the store with a bag full of things that she's gotten in this little convenience store.
Yeah.
And she gets in the car, and he tries to pull away, and he realizes he's stuck on the ice.
Oh.
He puts the thing in drive, and woo, woo, woo.
Doesn't have traction control.
Woo, woo. The wheels are spinning like crazy, and he's not going anyplace.
That's good. Good sound.
And his wife says, oh, wait a minute. I have something in the bag here that I believe will get you out of this fix.
Yeah.
He says, you do? What do you have? She says, well, let me see.
A 50-pound bag of sand. No?
Blowtorch. I have, number one, a bottle of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
He says, what else do you have? I have Preparation H. Chunky peanut butter.
Yeah.
Not the smooth type, the chunky style. Chunky style.
Creamy it's called. Creamy.
Creamy. Well, creamy is the other one. Yeah. All right. Chunky. This is chunky style.
Yeah.
What else we got? A bottle of chlorine bleach.
Yeah.
A head of lettuce.
Yeah.
A pound of kielbasa.
K is a funny word.
Frozen kielbasa, I believe.
Frozen kielbasa, yeah.
Yeah. And a spray can of Cheese Whiz.
A little intimate little dinner tonight, huh?
Well, what do you
I wonder what they got planned for the evening.
And a box of Ritz crackers. So now, which one?
Wait a minute now. You didn't start this by saying, get the pencil.
No. But I'll give the list
You'll
over.
Give the list
oh,
again.
Yeah, you
sure.
know me. I always,
oh, yeah, you always,
I always go over
twice
the thing
as long as it has to be.
Four or five times. Which one of these items
yeah.
is most likely to get them off the ice?
Wow, that's not bad.
I'll give you the list
we'll
again.
We'll have to repeat this list. Yeah.
Olive oil.
Extra virgin. That might be important.
Well, it might be, but...
Is it a gallon or a quart? Or a liter?
At those prices, I think it's a pint.
A liter.
A liter.
Okay. 1 liter. This is like Gus Saunders.
Right.
One liter olive oil.
Giant size Preparation H.
Giant size package. Family size. Preparation H. Got it.
1 pound, is that how that measured?
1 pound.
Of chunky peanut butter.
Chunky.
I believe peanut butter sold in pounds.
Peanut butter.
Okay. A gallon of chlorine bleach.
1 gal chlorine. Clorox, can we say?
No, brand names? No, we can't. There are many companies that make chlorine bleach.
Okay, let's say Clorox. And the peanut butter is what, Jif? Jiffy.
One loop. Head of lettuce.
One head, is it romaine or is it ice cube?
No, kind of brown.
Brown lettuce. Brown lettuce. This is like a recipe.
A frozen kielbasa.
1 pound?
Yes, a pound of frozen kielbasa.
Kielbasa.
Well, it's actually 1 pound, 2 ounces, if you want
one
the exact.
1 pound, 2 ounces.
I was there.
Okay.
And an 8-ounce can of spray Cheese Whiz.
8-ounce can. Okay, I got
all right, you got all the items.
Olive oil, Preparation H, chunky peanut butter, Clorox, iceberg lettuce, frozen kielbasa, and 1 8-ounce can of Cheese Whiz. And which one?
It might have been a 10-ounce can. I'm not sure.
It's important. All right. The question is, which one of these items is most likely to help them in their plight of getting off the ice?
There you go. Now, if you think you know the answer, or you just want to correspond with us, or more importantly, if you want to send us a puzzle that you think might be usable.
Might be better than this one.
More important than anything, send all this to Especially the puzzlers. Send puzzlers.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill. Write your answer on the back of a $20
bill. If you're sending a puzzle, you needn't use a $20 bill. A 10 will be sufficient.
That's right.
Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square.
Could you spell that for us?
H-A-H-V-A-H-D. S-Q-U-A-Y-A-H. By the way, the postmaster chased Dougie out of the post office. Chased him with one of those postal scales. I don't know why.
Angry?
I don't know. I have no idea. Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma, 0, Sonia Henny's 2238. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul from Houston.
Hi,
Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm not only doing fine, I'm buck naked, too.
Naked. Buck naked.
Buck naked and on Car Talk, something I've always wanted to be.
Well, that's what we are every week.
I thought you guys might be sitting there buck naked.
We are. It's the only way we can do the show because the studio gets very hot under these lights, as you may know.
When
you're in show business, you got these monstrous spotlights on you all the time.
Like those food lamps at a restaurant.
Exactly. You feel like a little box of French fries, and you really get to sweat after a while. So we sit here buck naked week after week, and we get a great tan, but... Hey, it's fun.
I just knew you guys would be sitting there that way.
So what's on your mind, Paul?
Several things, actually.
All right.
Okay, first of all, my wife has an Infiniti G20.
Yeah.
And she loves the car, but she wants a van that handles like the G20 because she needs to haul some things around. So when we looked for this car, it took us 8 weeks to find it. And she said, look, why don't you call those two guys that know so much about cars and save some time. I told her I didn't think Lee Iacocca would talk to me.
I was going to say, how'd you get us?
So I decided, well, I'll call Tom and Ray and see what they can tell me.
Yeah.
She wants a minivan kind of vehicle?
Yeah.
Like a minivan.
Would she be satisfied with a station wagon?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, no. I was going to suggest that of all the minivans, I think the best, my brother is not going to agree with this, by the way, but maybe that was redundant or unnecessary, certainly. I think the best handling of all the minivans is the Mazda MPV.
Okay.
The second best handler is the Quest.
Nissan Quest or the Mercury Villager.
Right.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Huh? I'm shocked.
Well, think of the other choices. I mean, you have the Caravan. A little Neanderthalic. I mean, it's all right.
I think the MPV and the Villager or the Quest are the ones for her.
I'm going to go out and drive those. And one other thing,
what do you mean you're going to go out and drive them?
Well, she,
what are you, a male chauvinist?
Yes, I am.
She can't make up her own mind about which one handles better? She needs you to tell her?
No, but I like to look at cars.
Well, fine.
But she was the other night we were talking. Believe it or not, we were talking about you guys, and she said she was trying to imagine what you all look like based on your voices.
Yeah, now isn't that an interesting idea? Do you know Michael Douglas? The actor?
No.
People...
Oh, sure.
Sure. Streets of San Francisco, that guy.
Yeah, Basic Instinct. What other movies is he
in? A lot of people have...
Romancing the Stone.
A lot of people have suggested that I look somewhat like him.
That's kind of what I thought.
Right.
And you know, Arnold
people had those sticks and the seeing eye dog.
You know Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I know Arnold, but you see...
My brother looks a lot like him.
But luckily for her, the Houston Press carries y'all's column.
In our pictures.
In your pictures, so I was able to show her both your pictures, and she decided I was the most handsome.
Did she break down in tears?
No.
Well, we're glad of that. See you, Paul, and okay, I hope your wife enjoys her new van, whatever it is.
She will. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, another hour of your precious time has been wasted listening to Car Talk.
I know it has.
Our producer is Doug Lavoisier-Berman. He's using Lavoisier again.
Yes, he is.
He is.
I
remember
like
his heritage. Our associate producer and dean of the
College from France, you know.
Of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer this week is Gary Wallach. Our assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Our technical advisor is Mr. John Bugsy Sweet Cheeks, Mr. Height, free lunch. What did I miss? Sebastian
Lawler.
Our chief bottle washer is
last
Ken
week
Okuno.
He fell into a bowl of soup and cracked his head. Is that what I heard?
No. Our public opinion polling is done by that man of science, Paul Merkey of Merkey Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. The chairman of the Car Talk Math Department is Horatio Algebra. Our seating consultant is Rush Lumbar. The head of the poetry department is Kent Rhyme. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who is married to Frank Sarah, and now she's known as
Kay. Do you know they have a daughter? They had a blessed event in the family.
No,
a little daughter named what? Sarah. Sarah.
Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. And last and probably least, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known over at the Cafe Paradiso as the guy that leaves the crummy tip. You, Louis Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers, and thanks for listening, but don't drive like my brother.
And certainly don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although no one believes it when we're on, this is NPR, National Public Radio.